I asked a couple of men prior to our service this morning if they would distribute the communion wine, the cups that we take. And so, guys, I'm going to get you to do that now, if you wouldn't mind. And normally we do this at the end of our service, and that's fine as well. But today, we're going to emphasize communion a little bit. I've tried to do that the last couple of months a little bit more than maybe normal. And no specific reason other than it's such a wonderful gift, our salvation, and we know that. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed on our behalf, and so communion is a special service for many reasons, and not only an ordinance, not only is it something that we're commanded to do and remember and keep, but it's something that we look forward to. It's something that we're thankful for. And so just as the men distribute the communion wine and bread there this morning, I wanted us to sort of have it with us as a bit of an object lesson. You can refer to it with your eyes and your fingers as we take a look at some things this morning, specifically in relation to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. All right? And then when we're done, we're gonna break bread as believers, and we're going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection, the blood that was shed for us. So today, we really want to focus on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I remember years ago being in a first aid class. This would have been at Emmanuel Baptist Christian School. And it was Roger Rosenau, for those of you that remember him or know that name. He was doing this first aid class. And I forget if it was on screen or if he was just talking about it, but there was one of the students, one of my classmates in that class, he was a little bit faint at the sight and the idea of blood. And I know we got some fainters in our midst here. I don't want to cause any issues, so I'll be careful. But this fellow had an issue with fainting and blood. And I remember as Pastor Rosenau was doing some teaching, all of a sudden there was a disruption from the back of the class, a big crash, and we all turned around. And this fellow wasn't able to handle the sound of the blood. Let me just get one of those, brother. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's all right. So anyway, I don't know if you're faint at the sound or the idea of blood, hang on. We're going to talk a lot about it in the next little while, the next half an hour or so. I think we're okay. And I hope this will be a blessing and an encouragement to us. Let's start in Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. This is going to be a little different than normal this morning, but I want to focus on the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on our behalf. And specifically, I want to talk about the blood. I want to talk about the blood. Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to pray, and then we'll sort of lay down a bit of groundwork here to get us thinking about the importance of the blood. Let me give you the sermon title. The life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And we're going to reiterate that a few more times as we go through. Let me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the church this morning, God, as we've gathered together in your presence. Lord, thank you for that privilege. We ask, God, that you would minister to our hearts, Father, to our minds, to our thinking. Just have your way, Lord, with each and every one of us. First, God, we ask, as believers who love you so much, Father, who are doing our best to lay our lives down for you, to submit to you, to obey you, Lord, we love those around us, Father, who don't know you. And it's our desire, our prayer, that they would be safe. That's what we want for them. And Lord, it's certainly what you want. You're not willing that any should perish. Father, if there's one individual within the sound of my voice here this morning who isn't safe, who isn't saved, who is not trusting in Christ for their forgiveness and their salvation, that sacrifice that was made, Lord, on their behalf has been, for whatever reason, not utilized, not received, God, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation, even as was mentioned earlier in song and in word, that today they would be saved. Lord, don't let anyone, Father, leave this church today if they're not safe under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice. Bless your word and our time of communion as we remember what Jesus Christ did for us and as we think of the blood that was shed on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just to lay a bit of groundwork, as I said, Genesis chapter 4, a couple of verses here, starting in verse 8, jumping into the scene, but I think we know it pretty easily or pretty well. It says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." A horrible tragedy so early in earth's creation, and the sin nature that we brought into the world is already rearing its ugly head in the most extreme ways. The first murder, even as we just get started. And if we don't have a full understanding of how wicked our sinfulness is, this should give us a bit of a picture. I mean, this is as perfect as the world could get in this early stages. And yet, because of sin, even this horrible tragedy of murder has taken place. But the point is, Cain kills his brother Abel, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Quite a tone to take with the Creator. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And I'm not trying to suggest something strange or supernatural about that, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, values and recognizes that life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. He didn't say the body of your brother lieth in the ground. He said the blood lieth in the ground. And so he's bringing attention to the importance, to the value of blood, and that the life is in the blood. Let's turn to chapter 9 of the same book, just quickly. Chapter 9 of Genesis, verse 4 and 5. Again, just to reiterate, the life is in the blood. Verse 4 and 5 of chapter 9. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, thereof shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God man made he man. Let's turn also, please, to Leviticus chapter 17. Sorry, I lost my place there. Leviticus chapter 17. The point again is that God is clearly making a big deal about the blood. There is value in the blood. The life is in the blood. The flesh with the blood thereof, the life thereof, which is the blood, ye shall not eat. We see this reiterated again. Leviticus chapter 17, starting in verse 11, says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That phrase, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood, reiterated over and over and over again like a mantra. Something so important that we need to remember. All the way through even the Old Testament, and as we come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that phrase should flash across our mind in some way. The life is in the blood. And we understand, of course, the eternal life to be quickened, to be made alive spiritually, to have spiritual life through the blood that was shed, through faith in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, again, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. And that's the value of the blood. That's how powerful the blood is and how valuable. Again, literally, to make an atonement for your souls, the blood. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's the only hope of humanity, that the washing away of our sins happens. And the only blood that is capable of removing the stain of our sin is the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb of God. His blood is the only blood that is and ever will be sufficient. Verse 12, therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. We'll stop there. The point is so clearly reiterated over and over. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23, same thing. The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So I want us to be thinking about blood this morning. Not to be gory or extreme, but to remind us of that precious sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf by shedding his blood. As we remember today, as we break bread today, as we commune together in the presence of the Holy Spirit and God, we are saying thank you for this precious gift. Thank you for what your blood accomplishes in forgiving me and saving me. The life is in the blood. And if I want eternal life, the only way that any human being will ever escape judgment and hell is through the blood of Jesus Christ. I know it doesn't matter what culture you're from. It doesn't matter what nation you were born into, what year you were born, who your parents were, what religion you practice or follow, or what you believe sincerely. If you are not under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are lost. You are headed for damnation and judgment. And there is only hope in the blood of Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me, he said, Jesus said. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And the life is in the blood. He shed it for you and for me that we could be saved, forgiven, that our sins would be washed. You know, blood usually stains. It's hard to get a blood stain out, isn't it? But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes out stains that are even harder for us to get out, the stains of sin. It's our only hope. The life is in the blood. So as we think about the blood, as we recognize that God is making a big deal about this, okay, we get it. The life is in the blood. Don't eat the blood. Value the blood. The blood of your brother crieth out to me from the ground. There's something about the blood that God wants us to know. And as we think of the cross, we see the picture beginning to form. And the reason why God wants us to focus on the life is in the blood, or at least one of the reasons. Let me give you some practical reasons. And then I want to try to relate those practical reasons, medical reasons, to the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood as a way of seeing pictures. Okay, I love how when Christ teaches, he often uses pictures. He uses parables. You know, I am the tree, ye are the branches, those sorts of things. He wants us to see through these parables, through these pictures. And throughout all of creation, I love the fact that we see pictures of God in creation. You can't help but see God as creator in the world around us. And every once in a while, we'll see something and we'll say, wow, God, that is amazing. For me, the biggest one is pictures in the sky. We just don't think anything of it. God used the stars that he created to create pictures in our sky so that we can look up and see a picture and say, that was God. He wants me to know something. He wants me to know that he exists. You know, if somebody says the universe is speaking to me, say, yes, it is. It's saying God created the heavens and the earth, clearly. That's what the universe is trying to tell you. Trust in Jesus Christ. Practical things about the blood. Let me read. There's five essential functions for the body that the blood performs. It transports oxygen, hormones, and nutrients to the cells. It removes waste products like carbon dioxide and byproducts. It fights infection and disease by antibodies and white cells and those sorts of things. It forms clots to stop bleeding after injuries. And it regulates body temperature and body pressures, as well as stabilizes everything internally. Okay? Keeps everything in balance and in sync. So those are five specific and the main work that the blood does for our body. And I want to talk a little bit more about those and, again, see a picture of what the blood of Jesus Christ does in our lives. So the first one, turn to Romans chapter 5 here, please, because we're gonna need to in a minute anyway. Romans chapter 5. Let me start with the first medical point that I mentioned about the blood. Blood transports life-sustaining elements like oxygen, hormones, and nutrients to all of our cells and to our organs in our body. So as I stand here before you, I am a living miracle. Isn't that awesome? Not trying to brag, but we all are. You know, God has created us fearfully and wonderfully, and the arteries and the blood vessels and those that system within my body, the blood within those vessels is carrying hormones and nutrients and oxygen to my cells and to my organs so that they do what they're supposed to do. And so the blood literally it distributes life-giving, necessary components for me to exist and for me to live. If my blood doesn't circulate, I don't live. The life is in the blood. It's absolutely necessary. In a similar way, again, as a picture, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but as a picture, the blood of Christ provides us as individual Christians and corporately as the body of Christ, the church, the blood of Christ provides our body with life-sustaining elements, not oxygen or hormones or nutrients, but justification, sanctification, and remission of sins, elements like this that are absolutely necessary for us to exist, for us to live, for us to have eternal life. So the same way that our blood has to carry these nutrients and hormones and oxygen through our body so that we can live, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has distributed to the body of Christ through His shed blood life-giving elements such as justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Look at this. It says, much more than being now justified. By the way, when we're justified, the difference between justification and sanctification, there's one difference. It's this, namely. Justification is instant. We are made justified instantaneously. We have been declared just through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Sanctification is a bit of a process. We are set aside, but we are progressively becoming sanctified or growing in our faith, learning to be more like Christ. Justification is instantaneous. But again, justification or justified by His blood. One of the things that the blood of Christ accomplishes within you and within me as believers and as the body of Christ, the church, is we are just through His blood that was shed. And apart from His blood, we are not just. And I wouldn't be justified any other way. I could try all day long to justify myself, my actions, my behaviors, my thought life, my sins, my iniquities, and I would be wrong. But the blood of Christ has made me just. I am declared just by the one judge that I care about the most. Doesn't matter what the other judges say, as long as that judge, God Almighty, says that I am just, then I'm content with that. Don't worry, believe me. So we are just, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ. No one will ever step into heaven unless they are covered in the blood because they will be unjust. Sanctification, look at Hebrews chapter 13, please, verse 12. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people, to sanctify is to set apart. It's to set aside for holy reasons or holy purposes and intentions. To be made holy and sacred for God's purposes. So we are sanctified by God. Let me read the verse again. Verse 12, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. We're justified by His blood. We are sanctified by His blood. He suffered without the gate for that reason. We have been justified and sanctified, set apart and declared holy by God, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did. He did it, and we get to benefit from His work, His bloodshed, and now I am declared just and sanctified by God, not because of anything I've done, but because I believe what the Bible says, because the Spirit has convicted me and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Turn from my own my old ways and sins and beliefs, and instead I choose to believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so I am justified, I am sanctified. Thirdly, Matthew 26, 28, please. Matthew 26, 28. I want us to see the third element that the blood of Christ distributes through the body of Christ and us as Christians is the remission of sins. Again, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. It's the only way for us to be forgiven and saved. Verse 28, Jesus Christ said these words in Matthew 26, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? For the remission of sins, for the removal, for the taking away of our sinfulness. You understand, when we stand before God someday because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, and because of God's grace, the Bible says that we're saved by faith through His grace. And when we stand before God, we are sinless. He sees us as covered in the blood of Christ, and we are justified and righteous. And so we can walk into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did for us. Because of the blood, we have a removal of our sins, a canceling of all guilt. Man, that's good news, isn't it? I mean, do you ever think about something you did a long time ago or maybe yesterday and you feel embarrassed about it just to yourself? Please tell me I'm not the only one that does that. Whew. You know, we do that. We think, oh, you know, every once in a while I'll think of something I did when I was just young. And I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. I even cringe, like, oh, man, I hope nobody remembers that I did that. Yeah, I can tell that, yeah, some of you have those same experiences. That's good. You know, here's the truth. If it's wicked, if it's sinful, if you're embarrassed and ashamed, God doesn't see it. You remember it, but God has washed you from that. He has removed that sin from you as far as the east is from the west. You are completely guilt-free before God, shameless. You don't have to be entwined with that guilt and that regret and that shame. Once we put our faith in Christ and we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So we stand before Him, not stained with our sinfulness, but adorned in the righteousness of Jesus. He sees us like He sees Christ. It's wonderful. This is all accomplished through faith in Jesus. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior, we recognize the work that He did on the cross for us, that God sent His Son to die for us, we are covered by the blood. We are justified, redeemed, we have remission of sins, we're forgiven. These are the elements that we can enjoy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we can praise God for this. Number two, quickly, it removes waste. I'm going to have to move even quicker. I'm sorry, I know I'm talking fast. And I want you to be able to keep up with me. You might have to play the tape back and put it on slow so you can hear every word. But I want to get through all this. The second thing the blood does is it removes waste. Okay, the byproducts that our body, you know, spits out from the work that it does, it removes those waste, excess fluids, and mostly carbon dioxide. Do you know what happens, by the way, if your blood is unable to remove the waste from your body? You become weak, sickly, and eventually you die. Interesting. That's why we need the blood to do what the blood is supposed to do, and that's why God created it to do what it does. He's an incredible creator. And the blood removes the waste from our bodies, the poison. I jotted down the blood removes the garbage, the poison that can harm or hinder the body, like excess fluids, metabolic byproducts, carbon dioxide. If not, we get weak, sick, and even die. And we can see a picture, spiritually speaking, of the similarities of this in a Christian's life. The blood of Christ is absolutely necessary to remove the garbage or the poison from our lives. There is nothing else, no other niter, no other soap that can wash away or scrub the sin stain from your heart or mind. There isn't anything known to man but the blood of Jesus Christ. It will remove those poisons from us. Just quickly, and I'm going to give you the references because we only got about 10 minutes, and I got three more points. Revelation 1:5, Revelation 7:14 says we are washed in the blood. Our robes are washed in the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ removes the waste, the poison from us. It washes us. The blood of Christ is the only thing that completely removes the stain of sin. Number two, 1 John 1:7, it cleans us. You say, well, that's the same thing. No, it isn't. I can remember being washed by my aunt. A long time ago, she loved me so much, she'd get me ready for church, and she wanted me to be spick and span. And I learned there's a difference between being washed, being cleaned, and being purged, because I went through all three. Being washed is you just wash the obvious areas, right? But you don't wash behind your ears or your nails or your toes, right? Being cleansed is when you wash behind your ears and under your nails and between your toes. And I was washed, then I was cleansed, and purged is even scarier. So we are washed by the blood, Revelation 1:5. We are cleansed by the blood, 1 John 1:7. And then even an even deeper cleaning by the blood of Christ is we are purged. And I want to look at this reference, Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. Right, to be purged, that's when the toenails get clipped and the hair gets shortened and cleaned up a little bit, you know, and the warts get removed. When that's a real purging, a real cleansing. It's a thorough clean. Well, the blood of Christ removes all of those vile things from us, spiritually speaking. The things that poison us, our sinfulness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 tells us that it even purges us from the guilt, the conscience that we have and the thinking about sin. Look at verse 14 of Hebrews 9. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, to be washed in the blood, to be cleansed by the blood. And here now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We are so clean by the blood of Christ that even our thinking begins to change. He purges us from the guilt of our sin against God. He purges us from the things that we think that would be against God. He begins to clean us even from that perspective. Inside and out, we are cleaned by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the blood that removes the toxins from our body, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ removes all of the toxins consistently and continuously and, of course, eternally, the stain of sin from our lives. And this is the second thing. Number three, the blood fights infection and disease. Our blood fights disease and infection through antibodies and white immune cells. When the invaders attack the body, whether it's a virus or fungus or bacteria or pathogens or parasites or whatever, they are neutralized and destroyed by the immune system. And again, another invention of God. God created the immune system for that reason, that our body would learn how to fight these things off. By the way, my daughter Brooklyn has, her immune system has been working overtime the last 2 days to fight a flu that she has. She was sick yesterday terribly. Threw up all day, every 15, 20 minutes until about 3:30 this morning. So Isaac's home playing nurse to her. She's not feeling well, so appreciate keeping her in prayers. But the point again is our body, our blood, will help fight those diseases, those pathogens that make their way in. Similarly, or as a picture of the blood of Christ that does the same thing within the body of Christ as individuals or as the church, it fights, spiritually speaking, all kinds of diseases and infections. Not microscopic pathogens or parasites, but things like guilt, things like anger, things like pride or envy, jealousy, lust, or hatred. These things that if left undealt with will make us weak and sickly and even kill us. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ fights against those diseases and infections. So much so that even the source of many of those issues, Revelation 12:11, that's... Let me just quickly read it to you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The worst disease mankind has ever faced, the worst enemy of mankind, I dare say, at least the source of that, is the enemy himself. And as we read this morning, and I'll reiterate it again, and they overcame him. Who's the him? It's Satan, the devil himself. Believers, we overcome him. We have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, we can defeat the devil himself and his strategies and his desire to destroy us. And through the blood of Christ, yes, we can even have deliverance from this disease or this infection that is the enemy. And he introduces us to these things like lust and envy and pride, and our own sin natures do the same. But the blood of Christ wants to purge us and fight these things, to stand opposed to these things in our lives. Number four, the blood stops the bleeding. It clots up. Now, if you're like poor Isaac, who's dealing with the disease of hemophilia, and does quite well, I must say, but every once in a while, he'll be working in the shop, you know, fixing a car, and he busts a knuckle, and it'll bleed, but it bleeds differently. It's harder for him to stop that bleeding. He's got to take medicine. I think it's once every couple of weeks, maybe, or once a month. And he has pills, and he has different procedures that he has to do if he injures himself or sprains something because of hemophilia. And so we recognize that it's important that the blood is able to clot, that it's able to stop those wounds from bleeding. What happens if a wound doesn't stop bleeding? You bleed out. You bleed out, eventually what happens? You die. And so it's important that the blood does what it does. Well, similarly, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ stops the bleeding. This evening we're going to look at seven things about renewing the mind. And I've been working on this for several weeks now. I'm excited to share it. I hope if you're able to come, come. It's probably going to take a couple of Sunday nights. And we're going to talk about the mind, the way that we think, and what the Bible has to say about how we should think, how do we fix the way that we think, how do we have a healthy mind, how do we have a mind like Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about it. And so if you're able to come, I don't want to ruin it, but that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. So here's the thing. In the mind, on average, a human being in today's culture sins, now this is an average, about 240 times a day. You say, yeah, right. Like, really? Come on. 192, on average, of those sins take place in here. So now it becomes a little bit more easier to believe. Okay. Now, as Christians, we should be a little better at this, and we should be abstaining from sin, and God has been purging and cleaning, and His blood has been, you know, being saved, the Spirit within us has been helping us grow in our faith, so those numbers shouldn't be as high. But on average, the average human being sins over 240 times a day, and 192 happens in here. And tonight we'll talk about where the rest of those things happen. But the point is that our sinfulness adds up. The condemnation continues to add up. The judgment piles up because our sins pile up. And if we leave this world in that way, we're going to be judged accordingly. And without Christ, without that clotting of the blood, without that stopping of the consequences of our sin, we're going to bleed out. And we're going to die without hope. And so there's a picture there in the blood of what Jesus Christ does for us. He stops the bleeding. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Just quickly again, sorry for rushing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. We're bleeding out. 200 times a day, my thought life isn't right. I'm saying things I shouldn't. I'm doing things I shouldn't. I'm sins of omission. I'm bleeding out. I'm sinning against God over and over and over again, day after day. 200 sins a day. Every week, every month, every year, my life goes on. 50 years goes by. There is a mountain of offenses against God that I will have to answer for that the blood of Jesus Christ eradicates. It stops the bleeding and washes away the evidence of any crime. He did that for us. And so like the blood that clots up and protects us from bleeding out, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us and stops the bleeding out. And we have hope through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, and I know we're at 12, so I'll be quick. The blood helps regulate body temperature. So sometimes people say, oh, your hands are cold, you must have a warm heart. Because that's where all the blood is, regulating body temperature. Right? We sometimes get too hot or too cold. Well, the blood has a job. It's supposed to keep the body temperature in balance. Likewise with body pressure. Right? You go to the drugstore to get your prescription, and there's a little chair over there. You sit down, stick your arm in. What are you doing? You're reading your blood pressure. You want to make sure that it's where it should. Not too high, not too low. It's got to be regulated. It's got to have limits. It's got to be in those limits. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing. It brings balance. It stabilizes us internally. That's what the blood does. It applies just enough pressure so the body does what it should, but not too much. And it's interesting how the blood, the way that God has designed us, where there's so many connections, so many comparisons to what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. I want to read one more verse, Ephesians 2, just as we close and we'll break bread. Verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter 2. The point is that the blood of Jesus Christ stabilizes us and brings balance or peace into our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, 13 and 14 says this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off and made nigh, are made nigh, or now close, near, by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. He is our peace. And through the blood, we are stable. Through the blood, there is just enough pressure, but not too much. He regulates and stabilizes us. And so these are five things that the blood accomplishes in our bodies. But also, interestingly enough, we see five pictures of what Christ accomplishes in our lives through His blood. So as we break bread today, I just wanted us to really meditate and think about the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf by the shedding of His perfect blood. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go right into our communion time here together. The communion service, by the way, is for believers. It's for those that have trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, not for perfect Christians, but for those that are walking as best they can obediently with Christ. If I'm not walking obedient, if there's sin in my life, then I am sitting at the table with the Lord, not in right fellowship as a Christian, right? Like we sometimes are tempted to do. This provides us with an opportunity to make things right. If there's something in my life that ought not to be there, I can confess it you know, anytime, but as we gather together, it's important that we examine ourselves to make sure, number one, that we are born again Christians and that we're walking in obedience to God, that we're baptized. That's a command. God has commanded us to be baptized. That's something that we might need to consider. But if there's something else in my life, some sin, habitual sin that ought not to be there, God is convicting me about, then we need to confess that and repent of it. And then we can be in right relationship with God. So this is one of the important parts of our communion table. The other part is remembering. And that's what we're going to finish with. So let me get the cup ready here. Just as we close here this morning, we're thankful for the blood that was shed on our behalf. And we're thankful for all that it accomplishes in our lives. So much, even as we quickly visited this morning, the blood of Christ does so much for us. And so in obedience to the scriptures, to our Lord, and in honor of that blood that was shed and did so much for us that we praise God vehemently about, we're going to break bread today. And let me just ask here, Brother Gary, would you please ask the blessing on the bread here this morning before I read? Thank you, sir. Amen. In Christ, these are his words. Corinthians 11 again, it says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So, well, of course, we remember the blood. And I'm going to ask if Pastor Jim, would you please ask the blessing on the cup here this morning? Thank you, sir. Amen. And Christ said these words also, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. I'm going to ask now if Nancy would come, please. Thank you, Nancy. We'll go ahead and close this morning, singing one last time, hymn number 219. 219, the Lord has chosen a beautiful hymn to close with today. 219, let's stand together and sing, Jesus Paid It All. 219, please. First and last verse, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
So careful with your time. I appreciate your patience with me. Let me just say this, though. We don't orchestrate the picking of the hymns with each other at all. I know the ladies get together, they work out their music, they do their thing, and I try to do mine, but it never ceases to amaze me that the Lord knew what we were going to be talking about today before I did. And he knew what song would be necessary to close us out with today. Jesus paid it all. And even that last verse, I love this. He washed it white as snow, all our sin stains. Now, the Lord knew what we would be talking about today. He's in the midst of us. And we see it so clearly. And it just should just fill us with just excitement and anticipation for what he's going to do next. I know it does. I can tell by the looks on your faces. Let's close. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for your grace to us today. Thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. Father, forgive us. We sometimes tend to trample on it. We overlook how precious that shedding of your blood was on our behalf. Oh, we are so thankful. Help us, Lord, to grow in faith. Help us to honor you, to remember, not only during our communion services, but throughout our days in life, that sacrifice that was made on our behalf and all that it accomplished for us. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Bless us as we close today and bring us safely to your house. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.